Welcome, everyone, to our board meeting. Superintendent will lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Changes in the meeting agenda. We have change in Schedule A6, replacement pages. Now, administration of the oath of office for newly elected board members. Inger.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you, Shara Lee, solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York and faithfully discharge the duties of trustee of the Board of Education according to the best of your ability?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe you get a song here. Thank you. Congratulations. Do you, Sue Rosenzweig, solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York and faithfully discharge the duties of trustee of the Board of Education according to the best of your ability?
I do.
Congratulations. Raise your right hand. Do you, Deanna Bevlinka, solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York and faithfully discharge the duties of trustee of the Board of Education according to the best of your ability?
I do.
Congratulations.
That brings us to the nomination and election of president of the Board of Education. I will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Who?
Deanna.
Okay. You need to. Is there a second? Jonathan? Okay. All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? We have a new president.
Do you, Deanna Bevlinka, solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York and faithfully discharge the duties as a president of the Board of Education according to the best of your ability?
I do.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do
time clock?
Yeah.
I'm going to do that too?
No.
I could.
No. We'll have that switched
we'll
over
to fix, me. Yeah, just assign somebody, I guess.
Okay. So now you're going to call number two.
Okay. Nomination and election of Vice President of the Board of Education, 21-22, and administration of oath of office to Vice President. Anyone? I nominate Sue Rosenzweig. Did I say it wrong? Rosenzweig. Sorry. Oh, that's this. Okay. Okay, all in favor? All any opposed? Abstentions? Seeing none, motion carries.
Do you, Sue Rosenzweig, solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York and faithfully discharge the duties of Vice President of the Board of Education according to the best of your ability?
I do.
Congratulations.
Number four, nomination and election of District Clerk Pro Tem, 21-22, and administration of oath of office to District Clerk Pro Tem.
I'd like to nominate Cheryl Reed.
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Do you, Cheryl Lee, solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York and faithfully discharge the duties of District Clerk Pro Tem for the Board of Education according to the best of your ability?
I do.
Congratulations.
Sorry. Number five, appointment of District Clerk, 21-22, and administration of oath to office to District Clerk. Okay. Raise your right arm. Do you, Ingrid Germano, solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York and faithfully discharge the duties of District Clerk for the Board of Education according to the best of your ability?
I do.
Okay. Okay, appointment of officer number six through nine. Oh, we didn't? Oh, all in favor of Ingrid Germano, District Clerk?
Motion.
Oh, I thought we did that already, sorry. Yeah. And nobody gave me any training. All in favor? Opposed? Obsessions? Abstentions? Good. Perfect. So number six through nine?
We did.
We just did. That was Inger. So number six through nine, now we all vote? Right.
You don't have to read them.
No, I'm not. They told me not to. Okay. All right.
You could just ask for a motion.
Motion.
So.
Mrs. Gish? Second?
Second.
Mrs. Rosenzweig, which I say wrong. All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Great. Section 6, other appointments, 10 through 26.
I move 10 through 26.
Second.
Okay, all in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Minutes of the Board of Education meetings for April 14th, May 5th, 18th, and 25th.
So moved.
Great. All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, policy. We have four policies that we'd like to move. Dr. Baum?
The first policy you have before you is 9240. 9240 actually rescinds 9230. It's been renumbered as per the suggestion of the New York State School Boards Association. It has to do with recruitment and hiring. It brings our language up to date with current recommended languages. You have 4513, Information Center Resources. This just incorporates digital resources into our libraries. You have 4526, Computer Internet Network Usage. This just corrects an error. Some of the other policies we did earlier in this school year referred to the Executive Director of Instructional Technology. This policy, we forgot to omit the word executive in a couple of the lines, and it mentions district devices, and it gives examples such as desktop computers, laptops, Chromebooks. And then finally, the big one you have before you is the Code of Conduct. Each year, the district is required to review and reapprove the Code of Conduct. The committee met several times during the school year, and we are making four recommended changes. One, we just clarified language that the code applies to not only in-person instruction, but remote and virtual instruction. We added information about stickers, pennants, patches on clothing. They have to be free of vulgarity or obscenities. We added clarifying language that principals can take into account not only a student's chronological age, but also their developmental and cognitive abilities. And finally, we added a definition for restorative practices.
Any questions? Are we ready to move this? Okay, great. First, Irene Gish. Second?
I move that we move this through for second reading.
Okay, second, Vinnie Vizzo. All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions?
Put it through a second read, right? Okay. Thirty-two is statement of assurances. They are all cleared and approved. And 32 and 30. Well, you have to move 32, 33 separate.
Second? Mr. Vizzo, all in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Seeing none, motion carries.
Okay, 33, designation of board member liaison and standing subcommittee positions. The board has agreed the following board members will be liaisons to the following schools. Shara Lee to Arrowhead and Minnesota, Deanna Bevlinka to Mount, Jonathan Cornreich to Nesekeg, Irene Gish to Setauket, Sue Rosenzweig to Jalinas, Vincent Vizzo to Murphy, and Jeffrey Kerman to Ward Melville. The PTA Council, SEPTA, and 3B Sage will be on a rotational basis with the Board Trustees. Let it further be resolved that the Audit Committee Chairperson will be Jonathan Cornreich, Trustee 1 is Cheryl Lee, and Trustee 2, Dr. Jeffrey Kerman. Facilities Committee Chairperson, Dr. Jeffrey Kerman, Trustee Vincent Vizzo, and Trustee Jonathan Cornreich. Policy Committee Chairperson Irene Gish, Trustee Deanna Bevlinka, and Trustee Sue Rosenzweig.
I just want to note that there was one school that Shari and Sue share.
They're going to split Minnie?
I believe Sue and I share Minnesota. Yeah.
You're going to split Minnie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can I have a motion? Second?
Second.
Mr. Vizzo, all in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Now we're going to do number 34 through 48. Any explanations or anything needed to be said?
No, these are all routine annual appointments.
Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Thank you. Second? All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Seeing none, motion carries. Okay, items for board action. This is Inger, our district clerk.
49 and 50, authorization of destruction of cast ballots and authorization of destruction of unused ballots. We have to have a resolution in order to destroy any of the ballots.
Second? All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Number 51 through 66.
We do 51 by itself and 52 by itself?
Oh.
And then 53 through 66 can go.
Okay. I will fix that. Okay, 51. Adoption of 21-22 contingency budget. Can I have a motion? Second? Okay. All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Seeing none, motion carries. 52, establishment of 21-22 tax levy. Can I have a motion? Thank you. All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. 53 to 66.
Can you just say when you move it? Could you just, not just a hand, just say that you're moving it just so I can
not
get
this.
Everyone? Just say because I can see. I can't see when you put your hand down.
Oh. What do you want me to say?
No.
Oh.
I thought
it was me. As usual. Okay. 53 to 66. Can I have a motion? Jonathan Kornreich. Vinny Vizzo. All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions?
Madam President. The only one I would like to make note on in that group was the donations. We had a donation in the amount of a check for $1,000 donated by the Long Island Community Foundation, Matthew Grimaldi Memorial Fund, to the Ward Melville High School Scholarship Fund.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Okay. So, can I have a motion on 5366? Did we do that already? No. We did it. We're done? Okay. 67 to 73. And second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Seeing none, motion passes. Number 74 to 78.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. 79 to 85. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Vizzo?
Second.
Mr. Kornreich? All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Okay, 86. Approval of memo of agreement between the Three Village Central School District and UPSEU Clerical Unit. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second? Okay. Thank you. All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Seeing none, motion carries. 87. Approval of a memo of agreement between the Three Village Central School District and the TVSAA regarding addition of title. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Vizzo?
Second.
Mrs. Rosenzweig? All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. 88, approval of memo of agreement between the Three Village Central School District, the Three Village Teachers Association, and the employee named in the attached confidential schedule C. Can I have a motion, please? Mr. Vizzo?
Second.
Mrs. Rosenzweig, all in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. 89, resolution recalling excess teacher. Mr. Kornreich, second.
So moved.
Mr. Vizzo, all in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. 90, Personnel matters, one instructional, two non-instructional. Gary, anything?
Nothing unusual, just typical hires.
Okay, can I have a motion?
So moved. Second.
Mr. Vizzo, Mr. Kornreich, all in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. 91, recommendations of, okay. Got it. Who's first? I don't know, you're on second. Who'd like first?
Third base.
Mr. Vizzo. All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. 92.
So moved.
Okay, all in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. 93, approval of district plan for special education. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Vizzo, Mrs. Rosenzweig. All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Oh, you did it. It's over. Okay. Informational items of interest. Okay. So.
Deanna?
Yeah.
Inger had asked if we would let her know who was going to the conference in October so that she could make the proper reservations for us. So.
Okay, who wants to go?
I'm going.
I think we're all going, right? It's in October. And it's 3 days. Okay, we'll let you know the dates.
I have an additional item of interest.
It's very informative. It's run by, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, that's it.
That I just wanted to say that today is actually a historical moment for the school board because our district is approximately 13% Asian American, and tonight we swore in the first Asian American member of the Board of Education of Three Village. And I'm very proud of Shaori and her leadership in our community. So thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'm proud to be one of the board members, and I trust the community who elected me, and I will do my best to help our community. Thank you.
Okay, public participation, 30 minutes in length, 3 minutes per person. We have Mrs. Gish. Somebody, Mrs. Gish. And Gary Young will fix that. Okay. If you're going to use the microphone, please wear a mask. Obviously, everybody has a mask. We all appreciate it. And I'll call your name. Clock will start, and then she'll stop you at 3 minutes. And as soon as we start, I'll call the time. Okay. Oh, time is exactly 8 o'clock. First speaker is Shoshana Hershkowitz. Good evening.
Hello, how are you? Okay, I'm good when you are. You were very good at it. So thank you for your time. I am here on behalf of the book Persepolis and the importance of including it in our curriculum. After last month's board meeting, I went home and read the book, and I'm here to say that it's incredibly important that we keep that perspective in our students' curriculum. Reading that book was really enlightening to me because that's an area of the world we should know more about. Our military is wrapped up in it, our foreign policy is wrapped up in it, and our money is wrapped up in it. And to be able to see the Islamic Revolution and also the theocracy that followed through a child's eyes was incredibly enlightening. And there's no better way to create a sense of empathy than to see a child to read through a child's perspective. It's an incredible book, beautifully written, beautifully drawn, and I think it's incredibly important that we keep it in the canon of our literature. I also want to say that I'm an arts educator, And often, great works of art are not appreciated when they're created. They're not always well received. And really great example as a music educator, Mozart's operas, when he wrote Le Nozze di Figaro and Don Giovanni right around the time of the French Revolution, the aristocracy was not pleased. And no one can deny the relevance of Mozart's operas today or Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring. These are things that are unquestionable, but when they happened, they were not well received. And in the 21st century, some of the books that are the most challenged are by authors of color. It's Maya Angelou's I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. It's Toni Morrison's Beloved and the Bluest Eye. It's Khaled Hosseini's The Kite Runner. And it's Persepolis. And if we start going down this slope, you are going to wind up removing a lot of authors of color from the literature canon. And that flies in the face of the anti-racism task force that I sit on in the work that we've created. I will also say, as a lifelong educator, you have hired experts in their field. You've hired people who know what they're talking about, who have thoughtfully programmed this literature, who've thoughtfully programmed music education and arts education. And while I understand that these conversations, that these books and that this art can bring up, can sometimes push boundaries, can sometimes make you uncomfortable, we cannot dictate educational curriculum and policy because a couple of people are uncomfortable, are unfamiliar, or perhaps harbor bias. That is not a way to educate our kids to be global citizens. We're talking about an anti-racism task force, and the very first time I sat in that anti-racism task force, I said, if this is going to work, you're going to have to empower your teachers, and you're going to have to back them. And this is that moment. And I'm asking you to trust the people you hired and to make sure that diversity, equity, and inclusion is a part of our curriculum. And it's 2 seconds, so thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Allison Pappas, please. Good evening.
Hello. My name is Allison Pappas. I'm a mom of six. Three are now Three Village students. Thank you for letting me speak. I could use my time tonight to talk about the science, how it's been proven masks don't help spread, and how cases among children are low, but I won't. I believe the board has been given these facts, and the parents, many parents, of Three Village still feel unsupported on this matter, the matter to choose for our own children. Instead, I'd like to talk to you about my children, parent to parent. My son is entering 10th grade. A few of you may know him. I know Mr. Vizzo does. You've seen him on stage. He was the lead in Murphy's Newsies. He was the lead in Arrowhead Drama Club 2 years in a row. Every year, he's been a lead in Three Village Musical Theater Camp. For the past several years, all he's done is theater and his free time. This past year, he was Pippin in Murphy's show. If you got a chance to see the show on DVD, you may not have recognized him. He was wearing a mask. My son's passionate about theater. It's everything. He quit. He said, Mom, why would I want to do another show in a mask? It's depressing. Because of masks in school, my son lost his passion. My daughter just finished third grade at Arrowhead. There were teachers and students she spent all year with and didn't recognize them outside of school because she'd only ever met them with a mask on. She told me, Mom, I see people in school and I don't even smile anymore. Why bother? They can't tell. Because of masks, my 8-year-old lost her smile. My daughter is speech delayed. She received services 5 times a week. Before COVID, she knew a few words. She made no progress in the past 16 months because you can't teach a child to speak with a mask on. She's not only lost any potential progress, but lost the words she had and is now categorized as nonverbal. Because of masks in school, my child lost her voice. All summer, my kids will be maskless. Camp, sports activities, church, shopping, daycare, no masks. Since school ended, my kids have had a light renewed in them. Removing masks has removed a burden that should have never been theirs to begin with. As parents, aunts, uncles, don't you want that for the children in your life? To see them light up, to let them be kids? What I'm asking is, will you support parents' choice for masks in the fall for all children? And if not, which one of you is coming to my house the morning of September 9th, telling my kids, look them in the eyes, tell them to turn off their light, put on their mask, and get to school?
Thank you. Next up, Nicole Haridanize. Sorry. That's good okay. evening, though. Okay.
That's okay. Congratulations. Yeah, congratulations to all of our new board members. Okay, I'm going already. Okay. Hello, my name is Nicole Haritanidis. I'm also a lifelong educator, and my son, Robert, will be entering third grade in the fall. I spoke a couple of months ago about my concerns regarding CRT and its effect on our children, both emotionally and psychologically. Cheryl, you and I spoke about this specifically. Although it has been stated that CRT will not be taught in our schools, CRT is the ideology for which DEI is based. In recent days, we have heard from teachers' unions that have declared schools will be required to adopt this ideology. I would like to take this time to comment on the DEI presentation and the statements that were made, some of the statements, on 6/15. On the surface, it makes no sense not to embrace DEI. Respect for diversity and inclusion of all races. The problem is with the E, the equity piece, is that's what's concerning. Equity is assumed and is not the same as equality. It was stated that DEI is imperative because our community is homogeneous, meaning we are the same. Why are we the same? We are the same because the majority of us are white. That in itself is racist. Both CRT and DEI do not consider people as individuals with their own struggles, like my own child. Whether a person struggles from within or they are suffering due to external forces is not relying on skin color. And when you seek equity for certain groups based on skin color, it minimizes those personal struggles. Social justice and anti-racism are political terms, and they are part of a political narrative. A person's political beliefs should be respected, and they have no place in the classroom. When you have members of the task force who are themselves politically motivated, there becomes a clear conflict of interest. Members who are, in fact, activists themselves cannot be neutral and unbiased and should be removed from any of these committees. When statements from committee members refer to those of us asking for transparency, and I am quoting, "I was proud to speak up in defense of anti-racism and education in our schools last night. Don't let the bigots distract us from diversity, equity, and inclusion for all of our students." That is a statement from somebody on your anti-racism committee. That is a problem. I am not a bigot for advocating for my child to be treated as an individual. I am not a bigot for wanting politics in a divided country out of our classrooms. I am not a bigot for wanting my child to be given the opportunity for an education that teaches core subjects and life skills. Let our children be children. Teach them what is appropriate for their age and according to their level of comprehension. Let them be free from the political narratives that are taking over our country and free from the lack of tolerance and respect for personal beliefs that are dividing our country and this community. It is too much. Abuse, homelessness, physical and sexual assault are colorblind.
Excuse me. Your yes. time is up.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Next up is Heather Coppola. Good evening.
Okay, good evening. I know you guys are all awaiting guidance from the state on upcoming school year as it pertains to COVID and the guidelines, but I'm here to continue to advocate for parents to have the choice when it comes to their children with masks, medical decisions, and for parental involvement as far as curriculum goes. Many parents are sitting here this summer stressing, floundering, worrying about what their next school year is going to look like for their kids. With what's going on in this world as it pertains to our children, I'm speechless with the lack of concern the district seems to be in displaying and advocating for our children. As a board, you are our voice, the community's voice. Yet when we reach out, we rarely receive a response from board members. All responses are always from the superintendent, which are greatly appreciated. And I've heard it stated the last few meetings that you know, by board members and by committee community members that we want transparency. How can we have transparency if we can't communicate openly? Here at board meetings, this is our opportunity to speak to you, but it's not a forum. We don't go back and forth. We speak, you guys nod your heads, and that's it. We share our thoughts and concerns, and that's all we get. There's no parental committee being organized by this district. Other districts are doing just that. They're starting groups for parents to help relay feelings of the community to the board, and I believe that Three Village should have that too. Parents need to be involved in decisions and plans, And I can't believe I'm even saying this, but parents must have a say when it comes to their children and their medical decisions. For example, Dr. Sussman is the medical director who you guys give the rights to make medical decisions for our children. My daughter had two medical exemptions denied by him. He has never seen her, ever, never talked to her, never spoke to her pediatrician or cardiologist who put these through, never spoke to either any nurse at Arrowhead Elementary where she goes. Yet he's making decisions for my child. If he's going to make those decisions, then he should see her. But he can't. He's not even a pediatrician. Yet he overruled her pediatrician and her cardiologist. And I know you've heard this from multiple parents. I need to have a say when it comes to my daughter and her medical decisions. I am her strongest advocate for that. And he is sitting here making these decisions, but he won't even speak to me. He refused to speak to me. He would not get on the phone and speak to me. And that happened to many parents. That's not right. That doctor cannot be making these decisions for my kids and other kids in Three Village when he won't even speak to the parents or their pediatricians. As far as next year goes, I stress that the year needs to look different for our children. We need to give them some normalcy. However that needs to happen with the guidelines that are given, I'm just hoping that you guys can just give our kids back a little bit of 2019, a little bit of 2018, just because they're having, like was stated by Allison, an amazing summer in camps, not wearing masks. They're out and about being normal. And our fear as parents is that it's going to come in September and we're going to punch them in the stomach and have to give these guidelines back to them for in the schools. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Ian Farber.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. You need to know where you came from to know where you're going. Learn history or you're doomed to repeat it. History doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes. These are all quotes that speak to the importance of learning history, learning the complete history, the good, the bad, and the ugly. This includes events like the Tulsa Massacre, redlining, and all atrocities inflicted upon marginalized people. As we come off the heels of our nation's birthday, we should all keep in mind that we can be proud of our country and at the same time learn about and acknowledge the sins of our country's past and sometimes present. To critique doesn't mean to condemn. Critique allows for growth. A smart man once compared our nation to an unfinished symphony. I find that analogy very fitting, as America is a constant work in progress. We all owe it to ourselves and our children to be part of that work in progress. Works of literature provide insight into differing perspectives, perspectives on coming of age, perspectives on world events. If we are to grow as a people and as a nation, those perspectives must never be silenced by banning books. That in itself is part of history and never shines well on those who attempt it. In the past, books such as Catcher in the Rye, To Kill a Mockingbird, were banned but later cleared for education. These books force people to confront difficult topics, but again, that is how we grow. I would also like to thank Dr. Gold and all those on the Anti-Racism Task Force for the great work they are doing, as that is also part of how we learn and how we grow, and I would yield the rest of my time.
Thank you. Next up is Jeannie Brunson.
Thank you. I'm, as a parent and a member of the Anti-Racism Task Force, I speak today in support of the district's DEI efforts. There is a vocal group of people in our community, as you've heard tonight, opposed to supporting students of diverse backgrounds and needs with curriculum-wide equity and inclusion. I wonder what they're really so afraid of. I don't think they actually fear including books that allow students of color to feel seen and important. Maybe they have been called out on social media for those culturally ingrained biases that everyone has and think the word critical in critical race theory means public criticism of individuals rather than careful analysis of historical events. Please trust that teachers know better than anyone that schools are a place to grow and have your ideas challenged with kindness. But let's dispense with this myth right now. CRT does not mean that your white child will be told they are an oppressor. A critical race theory approach, which means looking at history through the eyes of people of color, does mean that white children will learn that their own race is not the default. Being seen this way has led to many opportunities we as white people mostly take for granted. For example, if you have always seen yourself reflected in the learning materials at school. If the name on your resume is more likely to land an interview than the resume with a culturally distinct name. If you have never been followed in a store or had your credit questioned or been harassed based on your race or ethnicity. If you have not had to teach your child how to be safe in a police interaction. One's right to life and liberty should never depend on one's skin, yet it still so clearly does. We are not the default, and we cannot be inclusive while thinking of ourselves that way. I believe this is the true fear behind this vocal, anti-inclusive group. This should not be an idea that scares you. Acknowledging systemic racism will not cause you to get paid less, lose your job, or your children to fail to get into college. In fact, building a system that teaches our children to better understand one another creates opportunities for everyone. It will make them more able to interact effectively and collaborate with others in careers here and around the world. A diversity, equity, and inclusion curriculum is just that, inclusive, designed to lift up all students, help every child overcome challenges, and maximize their own potential to thrive and contribute to the world. To teach this, we must acknowledge honestly how we got to where we are. We must see race to acknowledge that history, the present disparities and injustices, and those diverse perspectives in order to move beyond the systems that hold people back and instead lift each other up. Thank you.
Thank you. Oops. Next up is Kate Davis. Good evening.
Hi. Congratulations. Congratulations to the new board members. Sorry that I had to walk out for a second. I'm just going to start off my speech with saying that I'm a second-generation American here. My parents were the first generation born here, and I'm second generation. I didn't see myself reflected. I have white skin, but I didn't see my culture and stuff reflected when I was growing up in everything that was provided to me. Anyway, I'd like to address a couple of things. This will be short and to the point. I'm imploring the board, the community members, to look up the items that I'm mentioning and think critically about them. Firstly, I'm sure as you are aware, many of you have seen the National Education Association's approved plan to promote CRT to all 50 states. Teachers are going to be required to attend seminars if they haven't started already under the guise of DEI and social-emotional learning, and to receive trainings to learn about CRT and how to push back against those who oppose CRT. I know we've been told many times CRT isn't our curriculum, and I wish I could truly believe it. With these new guidelines, I'm not sure I'm convinced. New York State has also put through CRS, which is Culturally Responsive Sustaining Education, which claims itself to be asset-based pedagogies that recognize cultural differences, racial, ethnic, linguistic, gender, sexuality, and ability. These all sound great, but there's a lot of nefarious things that are hidden in them. The curriculum critiques a lot of things, such as being white and having white privilege. If you don't think that certain things are being snuck into the curriculum, look into our recommended reading under the DEI links on our school's website. Nothing recommended from the conservative viewpoint or other viewpoints. Next, take a look at something as simple as your child's Chromebook, and you'll find an app called BrainPop. Check out what your child's children are being exposed to. There is BLM all over it, along with Pride, and videos that say that if you're white, you're basically an oppressor. They have a whole link tree thing set up also. Why are we allowing these political agendas to come into our schools, even under DEI? I agree that it's important to learn about diversity and all that kind of stuff, but why are we so clearly struggling to define the evidence that's in front of us? And also, showing pornographic images is illegal, such as those shown in Persepolis, however you say the book, it's illegal. So, and there are victims of every race who have experienced horrors we'll never know, many of which are results of systems that have failed them. Thomas Valva was white. Remember him? System failed him. We must teach our children about humanity. We must raise them to be strong, kind, caring, and empathetic, so that when it's their time to rise to the occasion and fight and stand up for others, they will have the tools and strength to do so for everyone, regardless of their skin color. With this in mind, I'm asking for further clarity, an outline of what will be taught and how it will be taught, the specific materials used for each grade level, and for an open forum similar to that of the budget forum recently held. I know that this is I agree with the more board members' statements that it's time to come together and lessen the divide with respect, decency, and understanding, and focus on our commonalities and not our differences. And we must learn the history of this country, flaws included, but it has to be age appropriate.
Your time is up.
Thank you. Next up, Tara Giammiso. Good evening.
Good evening. I first wanted to say congratulations to all the new board members. Good evening, everyone. I'm here tonight to express my deepest concern and utter disgust regarding an instructional third-party site on the issue of systemic racism. This app, which is downloaded on all Chromebooks in classrooms, is called BrainPop. Let's start with the first video on BLM. In this particular video, a cartoon character, of course, let's use cartoons because we know this will help kids relate and pay more attention. The character explains the history of the BLM movement and racial progress made since the civil rights movement era. This character also encourages students to join the protest move that is calling for major police reform. The character says, "This isn't about blaming the police. When an officer abuses their power, that's just a symptom. The problem is more widespread than that, which is why we need everyone's help to change things. This is what these protests care about and what they are about. Smart move. Let's start to turn our children against family members, friends, neighbors, and the force. Do we not see how we are poisoning these young minds? Let's talk about another video from this app. This one's all about the new federal holiday, Juneteenth. This video touches on the holiday we now have that focuses mainly on celebrating when black people became free from slavery. In this video, the cartoon talks about how white people didn't like black people. They make it clear how black people were treated as second-class citizens and segregated from society. Along with this, they then mention how July 4th is now only to be observed by white people because it's when white Americans gained independence. You say you aren't teaching CRT, but don't know what BLM is. Look at the clear evidence. Why would you then allow this material to be shown in classrooms? This is not only continuing to separate us, but it's poisoning our children's minds. When is it going to stop? Parents, I implore you, please look at this program. There's so much damaging material. You must see it. Open your eyes, people. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes public participation. I have one email from a Megan McDermott. I am writing in regards to the book Persepolis. Oh, my gosh. Persepolis. I do not currently have a high school student, but I once was one and an avid reader. One thing I appreciated about my parents is that they never limited what I could read. I had free rein at the library to check whatever books I wanted. I don't know if this was their design or their disinterest, but what it allowed me was the love of reading that has carried into adulthood. I understand that there is a loud minority calling for the removal of this book from the curriculum at Ward Melville. I adamantly oppose this and the banning of any books. Books are a reflection of ourselves, and these reflections are particularly important in the teenage years. When I think back to the books I read in high school, I am reminded of Go Ask Alice and Girl Interrupted. These books helped me to see outside of my sheltered life. Were they mature themes? Yes, and I had the guidance of an experienced educator to help me through them. I learned from decisions of the characters in the books and did not mimic them. Teens today face a multitude of issues that you and I never had to. Add to the influence of social media, and I can think of no better way for a child to tackle tough topics than through literature supported by their teacher. Any parent who questions the appropriateness of this book for teens is not paying attention to what their teen is already exposed to. The banning of books is backwards and out of touch. Please do not give in to the demands of a few. Megan McDermott. Is there anybody else that would like to speak? I call for an adjournment. Second? All in favor? Motion carried.